Okay, so we're up to page Ches on the left the left column. So so getting back into it. So what Reb Chaim is doing now, again, he's darshening for us basically a few pesukim in Sefer Yirmiyah. Again, in Yirmiyah Perek Dalet, like from pasuk Chav Beis through Chavav. So those pesukim, Reb Chaim Vital is teaches those pesukim are talking about the different groupings within Klal Yisrael, and each one has to take a chrayis for Churban Beis Hamikdash. So again, to get back into it, what we saw was that there were three basic groups. The groups were, number one, what he defines as Ami Aretz, right? Neshamas of Yidden, that their neshamas are coming from Aretz, from Malchus, which means that their Ikra Vayda is Yishav Aretz. Their Ikra Vayda is Mitzvos Maaseyos, practical, down to earth. That's Ami Aretz. And they have to take a chrayas for maybe not doing their job 100% properly. And that's what we spoke about, that those neshamas think that the mistake that those neshamas might make is, well, my Vayda is Mitzvos, and not necessarily davening and learning, so therefore there's a little bit of a lax in their commitment to davening and learning. So Reb Chaim Vital explained, no, not only does every neshama need to be, you know, for its wholeness and like sort of health, for its health, it needs to be connected to everything, but even for one's mitzvahs to be lichtig, the person himself has to be connected to Torah and Tefillah also. So even though it's true that the dominant avoida is going to be mitzvahs for these yidden, but even for their mitzvahs, they need to daven and learn. Like, davening is also mitzvah, right? Learning is also mitzvah. So it's not, you know, so that's that category. And then he went to the second category, which was a category of Tamidei Chachamim, neshamas that are from the category of a Talmud Chacham. Their neshamas are coming from Shemayim, from heaven. But within that, these are neshamas that they're connected to Torah. Their inyan is learning, but their inyan is nigla. And so their issue is going to be a lack of connection to Pnimius HaTorah, and because of that, their Torah that they're learning might not be lichtig, it might not be shining. So that's what he was talking about. So now he's going to, again, continue on that theme. V'nizeu hanochein b'mashakasa b'mishnah. So he says, this is a pshat, this idea of nigla being darkened unless it's illuminated by nister, right? That's the idea, that unless Pnimius HaTorah is there, the nigla itself is already darkened, like heaven does not shine. So this is something we could explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah says at the end of Saita, Mishnah Meis Rabbi Akiva, that when Rabbi Akiva was nifter, batal kavod haTorah. Rabbi Akiva was the last stronghold of that quality that's called kavod haTorah. Rabbi Akiva dies, there's no honor of Torah anymore. What does that mean? So after Rabbi Akiva, there's definitely big Talmid Chachamim. So what does it mean, kavod haTorah? Upirisha Mafar. So Rashi says, Shayadeya Lidre Shal Kol Kaitz V'Kaitz Tilatil and Shal Alachas. What makes Rabbi Akiva unique and what makes him the embodiment of kavod haTorah is the fact that he was able to darshan in every single crown of Torah, the letters in the Sefer Torah, like the crowns on the letters, he was able to darshan every single crown, piles and piles of halachas. So he says, "Vizel kavra Torah, haydu b'hadar." That's the beauty. That's the honor of Torah. The fact that you could have so much halachas from these little crowns. That's what Rashi says. So Reb Chaim Vital is teaching the meaning of this is on a deeper meaning is this idea is that the crowns over here represent secrets of Torah. That's the crown, the keser. The fact that Rabbi Akiva was able to darshan from every single crown piles and piles of halachas, it means he was able to make that connection to illuminate nigla from the nister. He wasn't just coming up with ideas in halach and learning. The ideas in learning were emanating from Pnimius. That's kavod haTorah. So he says, "Vizo etzli b'perish haMishnah." Says Reb Chaim Vital, that's also what I think the Pshat of the Mishnah is. The Mishnah says, "Om Rabbi Shuvan Levi." Rabbi Shuvan Levi said, "B'kol yom v'yoyim baskal yoytzis mehar chayiv." Every single day, there's a baskal that comes out from Har Sinai, u'mecharezes v'ymeres, and it calls out and it says, "Oylem lebriyos melbayna shel Torah." That woe is to the world, to the creations, from the degradation of Torah, from the opposite of kavod of Torah. So in other words, this baskal is calling out, demanding that people should give kavod to Torah. What does it mean to give kavod to Torah? So simple pshat in the Mishnah, the way it's usually interpreted is that the baskal is trying to say, no, everyone should learn. Everyone should learn. But the Reb Chaim Vital, it's not just everyone, it's let it just say, learn, right? So what does the baskal say? Woe is to the world because of the disgrace of Torah. What's the disgrace of Torah? Says Reb Chaim Vital, not just not to learn. It means when nigla is not illuminated from nister, that's a disgrace. Why? So he says like this. Because when a person, without a doubt, when a person is learning Torah just in the simple pshat and just with the stories, without there being any connection to anything deeper in that learning, he leveshes big day almanusa. The Torah itself wears clothing of a widow. I mean, it's a disgrace for Torah. The sakusas ksusa, and she puts on sackcloth. Because that type of learning where it's nigla, not connected to secrets, so then what the nations of the world, so to speak, say to the Jewish people, Ma dedech midayid, why is your beloved better than my beloved? That's okay. So he says, Ma tereschem miteresenu, what's the difference between you and us? Okay, so you have a complicated legal system, we have a complicated legal system. Okay, so it's more complicated. Okay, but fundamentally, what's the difference, so right?
You can learn the Torah flat like that also.
Huh?
Because they can also learn Torah just...
Yeah, I'm saying, if Nigla is disconnected from Nistar, then there's nothing deeper about it. All it is a rules and regulations about how to function in the world. They have that too. We have a better one, we have it from Hashem. So it's not denying the fact that our Torah, that even Nigla by itself is also from Hashem. But it's not fundamentally different than any other legal system unless it's being emanating from Pnimius HaTorah. Then you see that it's not the same. Your Torah is also full of just stories, you know, of historical events and so on. There's no greater disgrace to Torah than that. And when Torah is viewed in the same category as other wisdoms, so it's coming from Hashem. But what's the simple pshat? Like, what's interesting that in science?
That learn Nigla, that's not how, or at least I mean, that's not how they view it, is it?
They've
saying something very stark.
Yes. I think Klal Yisrael has graduated from this.
Yeah,
we've graduated from this. That's what we said this before.
At this time,
this was part of the intelligence. But if a person doesn't have that, but theoretically, if it's disconnected from Pnimius, then what makes Torah different? Because it's coming from Hashem. Okay, but what is it that came from Hashem? Like, yeah, so the only difference is where it comes from. But what about the thing itself? So you have to, one. So I've two Sfarim, yeah. So I have two copies of the same sefer. One I bought on my own, and one Rav Itshamar sent me as a gift. Okay, so one is more precious to me because it comes from the tzaddik, right? But at the end of the day, it's both the same sefer, right? So lemaise, if I want to learn, I could take either one, right? So why is Nigla different? Why is if Nigla is just disconnected from secrets? So all it is a legal system guiding us into this in the world in a proper way. What's in that and any other legal system? Where it comes from? Mm-hmm. Okay, but where it comes from is one thing. But what it is no different. That's a zilzal. But if we understand that it's coming from Nistar, Then that changes the entire identity of what the Torah is. The Torah is not just a legal system that comes from Elikos. It still is Elikos. It is Elikos. It's an experience of Elikos contained in a way that fits with the world. That's what happens to Nigla when it's imbued with Nistar. That's Kavod HaTorah. That's
good. It's not necessary for their like Torah's Nistar to know like the ideas of, let's say, the Zohar and the Arizal versus like having like understanding that there is a side behind.
So that, yeah, the right, action. Right. That's what we've been saying.
That's like, the question.
I'm saying. Listen, if a person's holding by that, then they could learn Nigla al pi Nistar. That is the ideal. But even just the knowledge of it.
Star, it's not like this. Meaning, even for the people that are around.
They still understand. Yes, that's to say we've graduated, most likely, most of us. Again, there's probably some individuals not, but for the most part, we've graduated from this type of mentality. But he's just breaking down for us the categories. So he says, That's what the Baskol is saying. Woe is to creations from the disgrace of Torah. That they're not involved with secrets. Shehin esenis kavod Torah, because that's really where the kavod of Torah comes from. Gehim arichma galus, and this extends galus. This you know, this you know, disengagement from secrets extends galus. V'kol arayis v'sakshus avol olam, and all the difficulties that come into the world is because of this. Kanal b'mayim reshek asavdim d'chilas hakman l'seinu, like the Zohar that we said in the very beginning of the introduction, that Zohar said that because of people not being connected to Torah in the right way, that helps the Shechin and so on, it brings tzaras into the world. Olena. V'zeo atzmai hu baskol ha-machris b'kol yoyim, and that itself is what the baskol that comes out every day is saying. V'nirmas b'pasuk, and the Gemara says that baskol that comes out every day is hinted to in the pasuk of kol oimer kara, that a voice calls out with that proclamation. V'alkiyoyitz v'zeo amr b'tikunim, u'b'zoyer parshas b'aloyeschem. There's another passage from the Zohar that basically says this point. This is a famous passage. Amr b'shimen. Rishimit said, "Vay luhu barnash, woe is it to the person? To Omar, the ha'raisa asa lachazo sipurin ba'alma umilo diadiati. Woe is to the person who thinks that the Torah just comes to give us stories of the world and, you know, human ideas. Vado hay mila daraisa levusha daraisa ihi. And so these words that the person is sort of, you know, sort of focusing on exclusively is the garment of Torah." That's true. The garment of Torah is talking about stories of this world, but that's only the garment. Uman dechoshev dehu levusha iya raisa mamish, but someone that thinks that garment is the Torah, v'loy mili achara, and there's nothing else there but the garment, tipach ruchei, his neshama shall leave him, because that's what he's doing to the Torah too, right? V'loy yeleh chilko ba'alma da'asi, he shouldn't have a portion in the world to come. V'begin kach, Amr David, and regarding this, David said, gal einai v'abit neflois mitarasecha. Open up my eyes that I should see the wonders of your Torah. In other words, what David Melech is saying is that I see the Pshat. Rabbanu Shem, I need you to open my eyes that I should see the wonders in the Pshat. That you should open up my eyes that I should see what's under the garments of Torah. The foolish ones of the world only look at the garment, which is the stories of Torah, not more than that. And Vayilin and Chayove, the Amri, and woe is it to those Rishoyim that say, Daraisa Loi Elisipur Balma. So listen, foolish ones only look at the garments. Rav Chaim Vital is going to break this down in a moment, but Rav Shimon seems to break it, even within this category, breaks it down to two slots. You have one slot which are called Tipshim, foolish people. That what? All they do is study the garments of Torah. So they might acknowledge that there's something else, but that's not for us. When we get to 40, whatever, that's not for us. And then there's Rishayim, right? Then there's Rishayim. Rechaim Vital says that they only that all there is the garments of Torah. That's already a bigger denial. The ina mistake belavusha da, and they also obviously only look at the garments of Yosser, not more than that. That's it. By the way, the context of the Zohar is interesting. The Zohar is in the Tikkun, I don't remember where it is, but in the Zohar and Parshas Ba'aloyeschi, he's quoting. This is right before Shimon begins to talk about the Din of Pesach Sheni. Like right before Shimon begins to introduce the topic of Pesach Sheni, he goes in this whole like inyan of, you know, woe is it to people that only have Nigla. Like, so Parsha Pshat is because of all the Parshias in the Torah, the one that screams the most that there's something more than just the garment is Pesach Sheni. Because if all there is the garment, then what is the concept of Pesach Sheni?
It's so connected to the rules.
Yeah, the rules are that Pesach, what's the current Pesach? As far as the garment of Torah is concerned, the Pesach means this is a sacrifice that you offer to commemorate the event that took place on Pesach. So that's on Nisan. You do it a month later. So the answer is, that's only the garment. There's Oiris, there's a side. And so once there's a side, okay, so I connected the side a month later. So there's, you know, it's an Etzias. There's a mitzias, a lakus. There's a divinity. There's an experience of a lakus. That's called Karban Pesach. The garment of it is, you're doing this to commemorate the event that took place then. Okay, so we strip away the garment, and a month later, you just have the iris. So that to understand Pesach Sheni, you have to appreciate that. Oyd Sham, another piece in the Zohar, he says also in Baal Ha'ischa, Uman Da'omar Dehu Sipur Da'raisa, the next page, those that say that the stories of Torah, Lachaza, Alhu Sipur, Bulavad Ka'asi, that the stories of Torah that we have are just to tell us the story, like that's all there is. Again, tepech ruchei, the person's neshama has left him. Dihachi lavi araisi lo, araisi dikshoy, because that's not a godly Torah, that's not a truthful Torah, that's stories. Okay, which stories? Which story? That's human already. That's not the Torah. That's what he says. We'll just finish this off. Within this category of Chachmi HaPshat, right, of Chachamim that are just connected to Pshat, Yesh Nei Kitas. There's really two categories, two groups within that. That's what the Zohar was just hinting to. Kat Achas, Him Yorei Hashem. One group is God-fearing Jews. These are good people. They're studying Torah for the right reasons. They never were educated. They never were told from the time that they were young. They never heard of such a thing that's called Pnius HaTaira. Or even if they heard about it, it wasn't the right way. It's a lack of education. They were never exposed to it, right? And they never learned secrets of Torah. And because of they were not accustomed to it, they never introduced properly. They're afraid to engage with it. Because they say, it's heavenly things. It's above our pay grade. You know, they've heard so many times that
in
the Asik Ministaris, huh?
They heard it's the worst thing in the world.
Right, or even if they not the worst, but even if they heard that it's like really it's very hard. You're not raw. You have to it's above your pay grade. But that's just because that's the way they were educated. It's not because of any malice in the heart. It's just that's the way they were educated. Who's going to go up to heaven to bring it down to us? And to tell us, what are its secrets? So they believe in the secrets of Torah. Again, they might not appreciate how Nigla flows from Nistar. Because once you realize that Nigla flows from Nistar, then just like you have a connection to Nigla, the Mela, you have a connection to Nistar too. So this whole idea of feeling like Nistar is not for me because that's above my pay grade, well, that it built into that is a mistaken understanding of what Nigla is, right?
It's also a lack of acknowledgement of a Metzias. I mean, the Metzias of
it's all because of lack of education. The person doesn't know. They don't know. Yeah, it's a lack of education. And once there's a lack of education, again, that's the difference between, when you're not educated in Nistar, then as we've been seeing, it affects your Nigla. Then your Nigla is dark. But all of that ultimately comes from an innocent place. It's not the guy's fault. He just doesn't know. He never was taught. He was never exposed. So regarding that category, right, of people that their Nigla is taka dark and it's disconnected from Nistar, but it's not necessarily their fault. They're not bad people, right? It says so regarding them, it says, their neshamas are taka shemayim dik. But it's not lichtig. It's not illuminated. Kigam shehem nefashis chatzus v'neshamayim. These are good neshamas. These are good people. But l'maisa v'ein or mimon. L'maisa, they don't have light by them. U'machshakim yeshu, they sit in darkness. And mishalom yitzin, they can't get out of it. But again, it's because of lack of education. He says v'oyd yesh katacharis. But there is another group. Again, like I said, we've graduated from these inyanim just for a few more minutes. V'oyd yesh katacharis is another group. V'im ksas min atamid chachamim. Which is you'll find by some Tamid Chachamim, Charifim, Uvopalim. You can tell that he's beginning to become sarcastic. So he says they're the Charif, they're sharp, they're Mufulpul, yeah. Oikrei Harim, they're able to uproot mountains with Toichnan Weissam, the Papulim Beisam Medrash. That's a language from the Gemara, that someone that's very, very sharp could take mountains and grind it, into dust. Valeim Nema, regarding these people, it says, Oidri Isei Saharim, that I see the mountains, v'nei roi Hashem, and they're shaking. U'misyorim l'geshes el mokem eisha cheles, but they're afraid to go to a place of fire. What does that mean? Heim razei Torah, that's the secrets of Torah. Divreim kagach le'esh l'heves shel heves, which is the words of the secrets of Torah is like a fire. U'misyoreim pen yitzervu behem tzrovas, and they're afraid of engaging with that with the secrets of Torah. Because of the concern that they'll have of being sort of burnt by that experience. We'll see in a second. Kinehu Yunuka, Davidarash B'chashmal, like there's a story in the Gemara of a certain Yunuka, a child, whatever it is, that was darshening with the Chashmal, a certain Sugin, secrets of Torah. V'nofek Asha Minei V'achlasein, a fire came and consumed them. So in other words, Umat Tev Chelkem, Anoim Goyrolem, Im Olsalam Kach, V'yisrifu B'kdusha Shemoi, Geish Oichlu, Halavai, it should be... Alvai they should be zaychet to be consumed by a fire.
Okay. Is it fear of bittul?
Yeah. But that's what we're going to say. We'll continue tomorrow more about this. We'll go back into this. But we're going to see that there's another category that they're also rejecting Pnimis HaTorah, but it's more of coming from a more negative place. Not a lack of education, but more of like I know what Pnimis HaTorah can do for me, and I don't want that. I don't want that. I'd rather I'm happy with the person that I am. I'm happy with my own, you know, power and authority and so on. There's a certain a refusal, a willingness to the humility that Pinus Torah will bring, and the elikus that will shine. They're not interested in that. We'll see about that.
Most people are in the first category. It's a lack.
Yeah, of course. Nowadays, again, in our generation is very, you know, it's all lack of education. That's pretty much what it is. But tomorrow we'll see. We'll see more about this.